AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy weekend of Cup and League action. Celtic and Rangers will meet in the League Cup final on December the 15th after seeing off Aberdeen and Motherwell respectively. Brendan Rodgers turns his attention to the visit of RB Leipzig in the Champions League tomorrow. And Stevie Clark names his latest Scotland squad with a return for John McGinn, a new goalkeeper, Conor Barron, but no Lennon Miller. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is a man who had a very quiet weekend, did nothing of note at all, in Andy Halliday, and alongside him is Roger Hanna.
And it was an epic weekend, Gordon. We knew it would be two Premier Sports Cup semi-finals in each day, a couple of Premiership games Saturday, a couple of Premiership games Sunday. Falkirk at six to cement their place at the top of the Championship. Let's just crack on with the calls, but I can assure the listeners and the viewers tonight, if I win Beat the Pundit, and if we do the full-time teaser successfully, I will celebrate.
You ready for this next 2 hours?
I can see me losing the head at some point tonight, to be honest with you. But listen, plenty of talking points as we'll get on to for the weekend. Congratulations to Rangers and Celtic for getting to a final. It's going to be an all-fun final that I'm sure loads of people look forward to. And again, European football to look forward to this week as well.
Yes, come on then, 0141-951-1025. Give us a call. If you are looking back, I'd imagine League Cup semi-finals will take most of the attention. So yesterday, Rangers fans, how healing was the victory? Is it done enough to cheer you up after a difficult spell? Or were there still elements of the performance that have left you more frustrated than anything? Do give us a call. We had a small taster of it yesterday, and I have to say, the vast majority of you were just annoyed at the performance. But, you know, in the cold light of day, any positives to take going into a cup final as well, do give us a call. Celtic fans, is that the best domestic performance of the season? I think we've asked that a couple of times, but that Aberdeen one, is that the best so far? What was good about it? What pleased you? And then crucially, how does it set you up for tomorrow? Because we're straight back into Champions League action. So do give us a call right now, please, on 0141-951-1025. As for the losing sides, Motherwell fans, it'd be nice to hear from you in terms of whether you felt it was a missed opportunity or not. Aberdeen fans, if you're out there. And then there were big league games as well, one or two refereeing controversies you might want to pick your way through. We are here for it all, even a Scotland squad thrown into the mix as well. John McGinn is back, Scott McKenna's back, Jack Hendry's back, there's a new goalkeeper in Kieran Slicker. Do you know much about him? Conor Barron is in the squad, and no real surprises, no left field shouts. And Lennon Miller's got a bit of hype recently, but not to be this time. So give us all your thoughts, please, on 0141-951-1025. Your result of the weekend, please, Roger.
I think if a team wins a semi-final 6-0, you have to probably give them the result of the weekend. I thought Celtic were outstanding on Saturday night, and particularly so when their opponents had won 15 and drawn one of their previous 16. They just swept Aberdeen aside, and one of the best performances of the season.
I've went Dundee. I think any time Tony Dock and Derek McInnes's men have came up against each other, we're seeing a lot of 4-goal, 5-goal thrillers. Kilmarnock going 2-0 up, so it was a massive task for Dundee to come back, and that 3 points makes them jump 5 places in the league.
Okay, I don't think you had loads to choose from, but you're there to make big decisions. Goal of the weekend?
I'm going to go the one I saw. I was at Perth for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. Kenny Vargas's winner. A great performance by Benny Beningame in the middle of that Hearts midfield, and a superb run. He could have gone to his right to Lauren Shankland. He chose to go to his left to Kenny Vargas, and it was a winning goal, and it was probably apt because Beningame, who Andy knows well, outstanding.
I know you like a good team goal, so I've got a suspicion as to what you're going to pick. You're not allowed to choose your own, obviously. Your goal of the weekend?
Yeah, it was a no-brainer for me this weekend. I thought it was Maeda's hat-trick goal. I think a lot of the team goals that I've went for this year coincides that it has been Brendan Rodgers Celtic that I've chosen with. But that goal for me was outstanding. Not loads in terms of passes within the move, but the quick intricate play around the box. It was I think it was Hatate that fires a pass into the pocket to Paolo Bernardo, that little flip around the corner. Alistair Johnson makes that sort of false eight run from so deep, and then just that cutback goal that we see so often for Celtic.
Yeah, impressive stuff. What about your howler then? Let's go on the other side of things.
Oh, Jeffy. I mean, what is he thinking about? I know when the ball comes in, it's a lovely ball in the semi-final yesterday from Steve Seddon. Do you think Jeffy is just unaware of what's happening round about him? Or is he thinking, oh, listen, it's only Andy Halliday. There's no way he's scoring against Rangers, because the defending was absolutely lamentable.
I thought it was just real commitment, dedication from Andy Halliday, showing how committed he is to the Motherwell cause, throwing himself in and scoring that goal. Something that's maybe been lost post-match discussions.
Somebody said that when the cross came in, Jeffy realised he left his oven on in the house. You see that?
Can I look?
Brilliant.
Okay, your howler.
I don't really like going for personnel at times, but I've got to go John McCracken. I thought it was a real opportunity for him. Back between the sticks with Trevor Carson being injured. I don't think Trevor Carson has too much to worry about getting back in after that.
Well, it's your proper howler, isn't it? Like one of those that you sort of see in the compilation where the goalie just drops it the night before a Scotland squad's announced.
Yeah, it's bad enough. And I've already given John McCracken a howler earlier in the season. Stop wearing the pink outfit.
No.
Stop wearing the pink outfit. It makes it worse.
No fashion advice from you, please. Top man, top performer of the weekend.
Well, I'm going somewhere a wee bit odd. Ross Laidlaw, goalkeeper of Ross County.
Don't mind, yeah.
It preserved his side a point at Paisley, and it made Fraser Wishart even more depressed. He was getting lampooned from the studio by Gordon DL for looking like the penguin, the Colin Farrell penguin in the TV show, and then he had a 0-0 draw in Paisley with Ross Laidlaw saving the penalty.
Dyson Meda. I thought it was a no-brainer this weekend for myself. Listen, a lot said about him in terms of, you know, how good he is for that counter press, how much he triggers Celtic out of possession. He's willing run, he's willing athleticism in behind, but the actual technical side of the game, which sometimes gets questioned, I thought at the weekend was outstanding as well. And you've got to say, if he had a little 5% in terms of his technical ability, where could he go?
If you think I'm letting this segment of the show pass without speaking on behalf of Motherwell fans everywhere and exposing you as howler of the weekend for that, whatever it was after the goal, you're dreaming. You're my howler tonight and every night. Explain yourself.
Nothing should surprise me in the West of Scotland, especially when it's something that happens across world football. But it just so seems that it does surprise me at the weekend again. Certainly, listen, the last thing I was certainly trying to do was disrespect Motherwell, that's for sure. And I've heard that comment being branded about over the last couple of days, which to me is embarrassing. Listen, I'll try and bite my tongue as much as I can before I start digging out individuals, shall I say.
Any part of you that regrets any part of it?
Maybe the little hands up, because that kind of gesture's been apologetic, but I certainly wasn't apologising for scoring a goal. But I will say, if I played Rangers or Hearts next week and I scored, I still wouldn't celebrate. So
even Hearts?
I will never do something to appease other people, that's for sure. So I don't regret that side of it at all, no.
Don't mind, Rosie.
Listen, should we rewind the tape 3 weeks ago when Louis Moult scored against Motherwell? What he said in the studio? Is that forgotten about?
It certainly seems to be forgotten.
I'm big enough to hold my hands up. I did say, and that's why I am half kidding. I agreed with you. When Louis Moult scored, I did say here on the Monday, good on Louis Moult for not celebrating against his former team. And then you've said you apologise, you regret the hands up bit. So I think that's us. We've met in the middle. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And it was a really good goal, by the way. I thought you showed great commitment to throw yourself in there. So
absolutely.
I thought so.
Diving
myself
in there ahead of Jesse, exactly. 5 yards away.
He left his oven on.
Going to get his oven, wasn't he?
Anyway.
Got a steak pie in a low light.
We draw a line under it. Who knows? 01419511025 is the number that you need. Gary is first through. How are you, Gary?
Evening, gents. How are you doing?
Not bad, Gary. What are you thinking?
First off, I just wanted to say congratulations on Lennon Miller, captaincy. Coming out, bringing his team out, semi-final against Rangers, fronted his family and stuff like that, and the Scottish manager, I think he did himself proud. Second point is, I was shouting at telly yesterday with Flamique, come on, just saying, get Tav off and get Dessers off. I mean, I looked up at the clock on the left-hand side, it said 6.5 minutes, and Tav had already made 5 mistakes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But I finally took them off and brought in Danilo, who I thought he looked sharp. I don't think he'll play Thursday night. I think he might play on Sunday against Hearts. But I'd like to see him up front, maybe have Haji behind him, because I think Lawrence will be out for a bit. I definitely could see a bit of a difference by taking them two off.
I think these guys are not in the European squad, though, which causes an issue with Danilo and Haji. But as a more general point, Gary, the kind of question we asked at the top is, you know, Rangers got through to a cup final yesterday, but it still feels like a lot of fans are a bit more concerned with the performance level. Is that fair?
I think it was before the performance, I think it was the actual team sheet. I mean, the week before, Tav wasn't playing. And you could just see yesterday, I don't know if you've seen it, but the camera went to the subs, the sub bench, and it was proper, and there was Dessers, and there was Tav just having a wee chat to themselves, and you could just see that it was all about them angry at Clermont. So I know that Dessers will be playing Thursday night, definitely, absolutely. So, but yeah, I just hope things change on Sunday, because you could definitely see a change when they come on. So
is that where we're at then, Roger? To be fair, I don't think there's a huge shock there. It's not like yesterday was going to heal everything. But Rangers fans were looking for maybe more comfort.
If you take the Tavernier point and just get it over and done with, Gordon, Andy and I have both said in this show many, many times that if you list Rangers' problems, James Tavernier wasn't near the top of that list. But yesterday, just take the game in isolation, Philip Clermont was correct to take him off, because I would say yesterday was as bad as I've seen James Tavernier play for Rangers. Now, everyone's allowed a bad game from time to time. Yesterday, he was dreadful, and he got taken off. The manager recognised he was dreadful. He came off. Dujon Sterling went on and improved the team. Dessers, for all that, he scored the goal, and it was a nice, neat, intricate goal. Cherney into Barn, good run by Conor Barn, knocked it back in, good finish at the near post by Dessers. But it was really all he did in the game, and I agree with Gary. I thought when Danilo came on, Rangers looked brighter in that final third. There looked to be more energy, more movement in that final third. So it's options for Philip Clermont. He's getting players back, but Tavernier, his confidence looks shot to bits. Might do him a power of good in the long run to miss a couple of games.
As previously discussed, you were very much involved. What did the game feel like to you? How do you feel it panned out?
Thought we were very, very comfortable in the first half. Thought we restricted Rangers to very, very little. I thought we managed to play through the thirds quite well as well at times. And Rangers probably done the old tactical fouls to sort of stop any sort of counter-attack we had. I felt we were a wee bit disappointed over the piece at how much we actually created in the final third ourselves. But in terms of what we restricted Rangers, I thought we restricted them to very, very little in the first half. And where I will agree with Gary is I thought Philippe Clement's subs made a difference in the game. Whether that had been the timing of it, because I do think for the majority of the second half, I thought they played with a lot more energy, a lot more inventiveness. But I thought Diamandé for me made a big difference, especially playing up against him in that middle of the pitch. I thought at times, I think Tom Lawrence kind of wants the ball to feet all the time. He wants to sort of stay in that pocket. But I think Diamandé sort of, you know, drags you places you don't really want to go. I thought he made a lot of sort of sacrificial runs in behind and sort of pulled out wide and made it a lot more difficult for you to get close to him. But again, the likes of your Danilos and Stellings, I thought they added energy to the game as well.
Did you sense then, I keep repeating it, this generally is like a day of sort of congratulations or celebration for teams who make it through to the final, not detecting loads of that from the Rangers fans. Did you sense it was a team that was maybe a bit low in confidence or a fan base that, empty seats aside, were just, you know, looking for a bit more? Do you feel that when you're there?
And again, kind of mixed emotions, you know, speaking about it with a few of the boys today, it's, again, still feel as if there was a bit of a missed opportunity for us yesterday, especially because I felt we were so comfortable in the first half, and I think people got away with it. I actually thought we did a lot better than what people gave us credit for in possession. Like I said, I think Rangers kind of stopped a lot of the promising attacks we had. But where I do think, I think we kind of let ourselves down in terms of how we handled the ball in possession, and it meant that we had to sit really deep within the second half because we went a little bit more direct and the ball kept coming back. But take nothing away from Rangers, I think their performance improved in that second half as well, and in the end thoroughly deserved to go through.
So Gary, is there not a part of you that thinks this is some sort of platform or step in the right direction or anything like that?
I hope it is. I hope he actually sees that, you know, these two players, I know he's the captain and everything like that, but I hope he gives Sterling a good wee run, because I think he deserves. They give him a new contract. He's been out for the last, what, 5 weeks or something, and he's been in now and then, just playing the odd 20 minutes here and there. But he's a good player, and they wouldn't have given him a contract if they didn't think so. So I think it's about time that we just need to change it and just run with it. And I think this is Clement's last chance. If he doesn't get this right at all by changing the team, rather than changing it every single week, try and stick with something and just go with it, because otherwise he will be gone.
Roger, do you feel like it was a... Is that a big moment? Is that a big statement? Is it a sign of something changes in the fact that James Tavernier comes off with half an hour to go in a major cup semi-final with the game poised?
No, listen, he was just poor. He just needed to come off. It didn't really, you know, it could have happened at home at St John's, and it could have happened away to Ross County.
It does show an extra sort of willingness to do it, though, no? That maybe haven't seen before?
No, I think it shows a recognition by Philippe Clement that Tavernier's not playing well at the minute. In the past he's been in the team because he's justified his place in the team. Yesterday it was clear from very early on, as Gary the caller said, he wasn't justifying his place in the team and he needed to come out of the team. The big question now is whether he'll start against Olympiacos or whether he'll start against Hearts, because Sterling was an improvement out there, and wouldn't surprise me, though. I think with changes, wouldn't surprise me to see Sterling for Tavernier, Diamandé for Lawrence, as Andy said. If Balligan's not fit, Cassin Wiro is definitely a better option than Robin Proper. Dessers will survive and play in Greece because, as you said, Danilo's not in the squad. But going forward, it'll be interesting to see how the team settles down.
Andy, again, we're kind of watching it. We don't have the volume on. You were involved. So when Tavernier hit that big loopy cross, did the fans get on his back at that point? Just before he went off.
I thought the fans kind of started to get frustrated around about that sort of 20-25 minutes, when there was a sort of a 3-4 minute string of a few errors, whether it had been Cherney or Raskin or James Tavernier. But listen, I think it was still a big call, Philippe Clement, considering the game was 1-1. I agree that James Tavernier wasn't having a great game, but the fact that it was 1-1 and James Tavernier has been such a huge source of goals for Rangers over the last few years, so I still think it was a big call to make. But listen, you've got to say it was proved correct, because I think, like I said, the subs that came on the pitch made a difference.
Okay, good time to call. Well, thank Gary. We're going to hear from Philippe Clement. He had some interesting things to say after that game. Were you there? Did you watch it? Motherwell fans, Rangers fans, get all your thoughts over to us now, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on the usual number, so do give us a call like Kenny has. He's from Gourock, but he's in Torremolinos. Roger Hanna was just moaning to me, Kenny, about the weather and the dark nights and all that stuff. You're out sunning yourself. What are your thoughts tonight?
Hello, how are we? Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I've phoned there a few times before. Andy Halliday's got nothing to apologise about, whatever. Whether he celebrated that goal or he didn't celebrate that goal, well done, Andy. You should never have been let go. You were let go far too earlier, in my opinion.
Ah, oh, come on, Kenny. Flattery will get you nowhere. That's non. You've been enjoying the sun too much out there in Torremolinos. What did you make of yesterday?
You must be sunburnt, Kenny.
Aye, he's a Bradford fan. What did you make of yesterday, Kenny?
I told the boy at speaks to you when Zero gets the calls and that, right? I'm not exaggerating here. I got security at my door last night back at 6 o'clock. I've got my fire stick with me and I was watching the game and I was going mental. And security came to the door at the back of six. No, he's still talking to me, right? 100%, right? She's still talking to me. She's raging. I was going mental. Halliday, you get called.
Because you were so happy, right? That Rangers went through, or?
No, this is right. Right, I was shouting for Tavernier and Dessers and a few others to be taken off and never see a Rangers shirt again. And that kind of mildly, right? Tavernier, right. I know I've got a bit of a couple of drinks. I'm sitting on holiday here in my own Cusworth, right? But if Tavernier came out the other night and says what he supposedly says, he thinks he's playing well, I think it's only the guy in Scotland that thinks that, because nobody else is. He's shocking. The amount of times, he's a disgrace. I come out at this time of the year every year, and it's now become a wee bit embarrassing. I was here when Steven Gerrard left, right? I come out the first week, end of October into November. I was out here when Steven Gerrard left.
It is like this time every year, isn't it? For some reason, it is this time of year where it always sort of goes a bit crazy. So is this generally where we're at, Roger? Again, someone can surprise me, but it just doesn't sound like many Rangers fans are in that much of a complimentary mood.
No, they're not. No,
even like, you know, even in light of the win, James Tavernier getting it. So you think he plays the next game? You don't?
No,
think
no, listen, no, you're not sure. I'm not, right, sorry. Definitely not sure. I mean, Philip Clement, if he wants to preserve his job, is going to need to pick the best available Rangers team, and at the minute, James Tavernier's form doesn't merit being in the best available Rangers team. Wouldn't surprise me if he came out with a back four in Greece of Sterling, Suter, Casemiro and Jeffte. Although Jeffte might be lucky after his performance yesterday. Tavernier no longer, you know, in the current form, doesn't merit being in ahead of Sterling. Probably doesn't merit being in ahead of Casemiro if you're looking at right back options. He is poor. He's as poor as he's been. I've defended him for many a year on this show, but now, currently, and he could come back, he could rally back, and he could find the form of old, but currently, he doesn't deserve to be in the team.
I mean, Andy, is this all leading? This kind of dominated the build-up to the game as well. It meant people were saying that, you know, this is like kind of like the best chance Motherwell have. Rangers are fragile, all that sort of stuff, and I kind of came at it from that, having been scarred by these times before, where you get your hopes up. Did it feel like a bit of a missed opportunity then yesterday, given everything that played out?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I think especially when you're in a winning position, you've got the result in your hands with 40 minutes to go. And like I said, for the first 45 minutes, it's not as if Rangers exactly peppered their goal, and we felt as if that sort of onslaught was upon us and that goal was going to come. We felt, you know, relatively comfortable in the first half, and it was kind of just looking for the more of the same from our point of view, but just offering that little bit more of a threat going forward. Unfortunately, I don't think we were quite as solid defensively as we were in the first half. And again, I think we kind of got away from what worked for us, especially towards the latter sort of 20-25 minutes of the first half, and kind of went that slightly bit more direct. But I think, listen, I think that sometimes that's hard. It wasn't an instruction for Stuart Kettlewell to sit in and hold on to what you got, but just sometimes that just naturally happens. I think especially when we've probably got a bit of an inexperienced team when it comes to sort of these type of games. And
what does that look like? How does that happen? Because we have this is not just about Motherwell. We hear this all the time, and even the guys in the studio were saying, oh, maybe Motherwell are getting a bit deep. I saw lots of fans as well saying, you know, was it too defensive? That's never the intention, I take it.
No, definitely not. And I think when you actually look at the first half, although, yeah, listen, we worked from an organised shape, we actually stole it in some very good areas against Rangers. We forced loads of turnovers in the first half. We still kind of worked for the same shape as the second half, but we were just that sort of, that 5 yards deeper. I don't think we made as much contact on Rangers players to actually win the ball back and then try and circulate it and go forward with it. But again, it's not an instruction for the side, but I just think naturally as players, you just sometimes just finding yourself getting that naturally a wee bit deeper because, no, let's face it, you realise that you're sort of 40 minutes away from a massive result for the football club, but we're obviously trying to hold on to what we've got. But again, that sort of experience that I talked about, realise that end up towards a detriment because you're just getting deeper and you're making that a lot more comfortable for Rangers in possession. And like you says, that coincides with not only the way we played, but then Rangers' performance obviously going up on our 10-15%.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He thinks the win can be a big reference game for the rest of the season. He's delighted with the mentality that was shown.
Yeah, that we can go where we want to be, to go to this final. We had that amazing feeling together with the fans last season, and we can battle for that again. So that was the aim of today, and it's also a well-deserved victory in that way. So it was probably the worst scenario that you can have, starting the game well, creating chances, and then on the first really dangerous ball in the box that you can see the goal. But this needs to be also a reference game for this squad, for this new squad, to do what we've been doing a lot last season, and is to dig in, and in every situation to keep our belief, to keep on going, to keep on fighting, and to break the wall then if we go behind. So this can be a massive game at the end of the season, to have this one as a reference that I want to see every 3 days, this mentality. That's what we've been talking about, but talking is not enough. We need to do it on the pitch.
What do you think, Roger? Can that be a reference game for Rangers? Is that one that you can hold up and look back on and try and replicate?
No, if you're looking for a reference game, then it needs to beat Celtic in the final on December the 15th. That would be a reference game. I don't think coming from behind to beat Motherwell in a semi-final is necessarily a reference game. It was a big game for Philip Clement. Had he lost, we would more than likely be sitting here discussing the demise of another Rangers manager and looking to find the next Rangers manager. But they got the win late on. Bejrami, deflected winner, as you know. They now go to Olympiakos. I don't think that matters greatly. But Sunday night at home to Hearts will matter, because by then Rangers will more than likely be 12 points off the pace in the title race, and it is win is all that will keep Clement in the job long term.
Because I've seen, you know, both sides. You get why he's saying, you know, that is the type of mentality we have to show, but then because of the way things are, I've seen loads of people say, well, but you only need to show that mentality to come back because the performance isn't great in the first place.
Well, a big thing we kind of spoke about in the build up to the game was after Rangers' disappointing performance and result against Aberdeen, like you touched on, I think maybe on Friday or something, I was listening to shows, you know, everyone's kind of expecting that bounce back game for Rangers, and we talked about how we were expecting them to start fast, and we wanted to meet fire with fire, and we wanted to try and start fast as well. And I kind of, it almost felt strange, the tempo that Rangers started the game at. It didn't feel like they came out with any impetus or any sort of real, you know, pressure to try and start the game really fast. And again, you know, Philippe Clement referencing, it's a reference point for Rangers. He never elaborated on it, so I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I can't assume it had been performance, because I still didn't think Rangers were great. Whether he means, listen, being 1-0 down at half time, you can still come back and win a game of football, if he means that, then fair enough.
Well, let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan. How do you look back on it, Graham?
I'm all right. I just, without being brilliant, I thought we were okay, and I think Rangers fans are in mindset now, whatever happens, they're going to moan. I'm one of them, my dear. First bad touch, wait, and they start. Andy must have heard it for the plane. Every bad touch, there was a groan. So, and I can't be helping the players, mate. I mean, they're Tavernier. I'm his biggest supporter. His confidence is gone, mate. That's confidence. He's gone altogether. And I just don't think we were as bad as people made out yesterday. We're by far the better team. Big empty, he'd miss his two sitters. The keeper's made a few good saves. And then we got the result. So can he just keep moaning every time they turn up? It's no fair to them.
I think
I just don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of fair sentiment, Roger, in the sense that we know this really to be the case, that when fans get on players' backs, it doesn't help them, obviously. But then, you know, the players need to give the fans something to cheer up about.
It is a two-way street relationship between supporters and players. There's no doubt about it. You know, Graham talks about supporting the team. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you did hear a lot of criticism within the stadium, even before kickoff, from Rangers supporters yesterday. And, you know, there was a couple of misplaced passes. I mean, James Tavernier knocked a ball from the Motherwell half back into his own half and out of play at one stage. That sort of led to boos from the Rangers fans. There was a lot of other, you know, poor passages of play in the first half. There was the chances that Dessers missed, misplaced passes. They just couldn't seem to get going. Poor defending when Andy scored his goal for 1-0. So sometimes the players need to do something to win back the supporters. And they did that. A couple of goals in the second half did win back the majority of supporters. But I think the supporters, their eyes opened to the big picture at Rangers at the minute.
I mean, Graham, so are you just sort of saying, regardless of what's going to happen going forward, just try and be a bit more positive? Or do you feel like yesterday was that reference game that Philippe Clement speaks about? You think that's a sign that things can turn?
No, I don't think that at all. I just think that we're just on our back too early. I mean, first bad mistake, that's it. Oh, he's obviously got hammer. Raskin played all right. First bad pass. Oh, we're just picking on him now. I think we should maybe support him a wee bit more. I'm not saying... I don't know, mate. It's just... I thought they were okay yesterday. I mean, Murrow had one shot and scored it. That was it. So, defensively, they were okay. Midfield, up front, they've nothing. And that's... We'll get to the final third. I've no idea what they're doing. So, I just thought they were a wee bit harsh yesterday. I think they were okay.
Yeah, Graham says nothing up front. Graham says nothing up front, Roger. There are loads of Rangers players have got stick this season, but maybe the two that lead the way would be Tavernier and Cyril Dessers would be next.
Yeah.
What about him yesterday?
Well, he got the equalising goal, but he was poor in the first half. He missed a couple of really good opportunities first half to get Rangers level after Andy had scored. Took his chance. Good move, as we say, Cherney to Barron and to Dessers, and he scored, but he never really looked as if he was going to get better of the Motherwell central defenders, and there was more movement. Danilo looked an improvement when he came on, and that's Danilo just back in the side for the first time after another lengthy injury absence. So listen, maybe Dessers will improve when he knows that Danilo's there to offer a real threat to his place. For a long time, he really only was the only option at number 9 for Rangers, because Igamani isn't ready in my book. Dessers will play in Greece on Thursday, but I wonder if he plays in Greece on Thursday, does that enhance the chances of Danilo maybe starting against Hearts on Sunday?
You think Danilo made a difference, Sandy?
Individually, maybe, but I think more as a team. I thought Rangers looked a better team in that last 30-35 minutes, and I think Danilo got a lot more service and support than Dessers did, certainly in the first sort of 40-45 minutes.
He's making better. Look at the run he makes.
The run for the second
for
goal.
For the second goal, to take the central defender away and open up the space for Cherny to play the ball into Bajrami. Dessers wouldn't have made that run.
I was just about to say that. One thing I think that Dessers doesn't help himself with, we all know he's a big boy, we all know he's powerful, we all know he's strong, but he sometimes gets too involved, I think, with tussles with centre-halves, especially when you're playing against a back three and you're that sort of lone striker up there. I think sometimes you need to try and play on the shoulder or play off defenders and try and make it a bit more difficult for them to man-mark you and get into that sort of physical battle. But it seems like he almost enjoys that, but then gets sort of dragged into it, and like he says, doesn't get as many touches as he would like.
Thank you, Graham. 01419511025. You can keep going on that theme. What about Saturday, Celtic fans? Is that the best domestic performance of the season? How does it set you up for tomorrow? Who impressed you? All your thoughts, please, right now, and we'll take your calls next. Win an explosive £250,000. Your bank balance could get a serious, serious uplift if you enter this competition right now. The biggest cash prize you can win on the radio anywhere this week. So make sure you're in with a chance. It's just one entry and it could be worth £250,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this rare network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday. There is no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't need to worry about the five rings. Just answer your phone and the £250,000 is yours, straight into your bank after the call. And it's a guaranteed winner. Someone will win the lot. Make sure you're in with a chance of that person being you. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. Let's take a look at the first of the semi-finals, which took place on Saturday evening. Eventually, once the smoke cleared, and it was a very, very impressive performance and win for Celtic, because people were looking at Aberdeen being level on points, coming back from 2-0 down at Celtic Park, even going back to last season, taking Celtic to penalties in the Scottish Cup semi-final. But my goodness, there was a fair distance between the sides this time. What did you make of it, Stephen, on the line? How pleasing was it?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it was a scintillating performance, probably one of Celtic's best performances at Hampden for many a year, to be fair, including, you know, the most of the finals over there. But great performance against a really vastly improved Aberdeen team for this season, you know. So all in all, great result. Just really, really, really happy with how the team played. Really happy with how Brendan set up. You know, couldn't fault it.
How would you quantify it, Andy? You played against Celtic just last week. Mm-hmm. They are obviously still the best team in the country, whether Aberdeen are level or not. Yes, you expect them to win, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, how good was this? What level did they reach?
Outstanding. Very, very, very good. And again, Gordon, this isn't a belittle Aberdeen. It's more a kind of praise of how it sort of worked out for Celtic. I don't even think Aberdeen were that bad. I just thought Celtic punished every single mistake they made. And again, you know, you often talk about how good Celtic are in possession, have a lot of the ball, but sometimes they're at their most dangerous when the other team are actually attacking, because you even see that for the second and third goal, how quickly they go from defence to attack. And when you've got the speed and the athleticism of Kun and Maeda and Kyogo, within two passes they could be in and around your box creating chances. So again, I thought it was as close to a sort of perfect performance domestically that Celtic have had this season. I think St Johnson away was the other one in the league campaign, where again another 6-0 victory, but they just made it so difficult for Aberdeen to live with for 90 minutes.
Well, listen, Gordon, in my day I've seen Celtic put 9 past Aberdeen, 7-6 on multiple occasions, 5 several times. That 6-0 on Saturday was up there with any of them. Partly because we know how good Aberdeen have been. Aberdeen went to Celtic Park and got a 2-2 from 2-0 down at half time the other week. Aberdeen beat Rangers on Wednesday night and looked very good on it. This is a decent Aberdeen team, and Celtic just blew them away. And as Andy said, some of the football was great. I particularly like the second goal, I have to say. You know, Maeda busting clear, goes from one half to the other, and the finish for Kyogo, I like those ones off the underside of the bar and down. Great goal. Celtic were in absolutely terrific form. Because it's been 2 semi-finals and we've spoken about them, we've hardly mentioned Celtic playing the Champions League tomorrow night. It was a great way to set up the team ahead of a big home Champions League game against RB Leipzig. And we're going to be fascinated to see if a couple of the guys who didn't get in the team on Saturday can get back in it for Tuesday night.
I bet you wish the final was this week, Stephen. I'm not saying things will have changed by then, but, you know, right now with the way the narrative is sitting, I bet you wish the final was soon.
Yeah, do you know, as I say, we seem to be firing in all cylinders. We, you know, I was on a couple of weeks ago and I was very critical of Austin Trustee. And I had to phone up and take some of that criticism back, because I think he's been outstanding the last 2 or 3 games. When I seen him playing on the left-hand side on Saturday, with Carbonin back in, it just looked amazing. And I think if Celtic continue this form, I mean, listen, I'm sure Rangers will be over the moon at the end of the final, but they'll probably be hoping that Celtic is not on the form that they had on Saturday, because I think Celtic would be blowing most teams away, you know, that we've come up against, and hopefully we do that again on Tuesday night as well, you know.
Who will play at the back quickly? We'll debate it probably more tomorrow, but does Austin Trustee stay in with Carter Vickers?
By the looks of things, yes. I was surprised when I saw the team, but yeah, but looks of things.
Yeah, I think so. We spoke about it a little bit last Monday, didn't we? I just think if Celtic are paying £5 million for somebody, it's to play. And I do think it's incredibly harsh on scales, but I think Brendan Rodgers just talked about that little bit more pace. I think if pace is the reason in the Champions League, you're playing the guy with more pace.
Vai ahead of Taylor?
Yeah, for me. At this moment in time, I think Greg Taylor's been excellent for Celtic, but I think Vai's came in and really impressed. I think off the back of his last couple of performances as well, he's been really good. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if it's the same 11, maybe Bernardo for Engels.
Ooh, big shout. Arne Engels did the press today, which used to mean a lot, but now it doesn't.
Yeah, well, Cass and Weirdo done the press for Rangers at the weekend, and that says he'll play, because it doesn't
matter
anymore.
Bernardo did it before the Bratislava game and then didn't play. I think it's a red herring.
I thought Hitati was another one that looked back to his best at the weekend.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people really happy with what he had to say. I was about to bring in Thomas, but I think he's disappeared slightly. That kind of physical effort, because you know Celtic work hard for it. Is that, I mean, it's about as quick a turnaround as you can get, I guess, Saturday night to Tuesday evening. does that require a bit more? I mean, rotation's the wrong word because you're not talking rotation for the Champions League.
I'm not sure it does. I mean, listen, they probably eased off a little bit in a 6-0. I think Leipzig played Dortmund at the weekend, didn't they? So, you know, they would have
and
to go...
lost, I think, 2-1.
Yeah, they would have to go full pelt in that game, I would think, in the Bundesliga.
True.
So I'm looking forward to the game. I think Marco Rosa, the Leipzig coach, been a couple of times, won a couple of times at Celtic Park. He will feel confident bringing his team in. He'll know what Dortmund have done to Celtic in the Champions League this season. I think it'll be a terrific game of football.
Well, listen, plenty of time to analyse the build-up to that one, and we can do it tomorrow as well. It's an 8 o'clock kick-off, so we can get our teeth stuck into what the team should look like and so on for that. But give us a call or send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He praised the hunger and ruthlessness of his team after that 6-0 win.
Obviously a brilliant result and outstanding performance against an Aberdeen team that have been so good this season in the league, and we knew how tough it was going to be. So we knew we had to be really, really good today in a lot of our game. But I think it's a massive credit to the players, their mentality and how ruthless they were in the game. So yeah, it was really good, really good one. This suits our game here at Hampden. The pitch is beautiful. It was nice and slick for us. And the quicker you can move the ball, the faster the opponent has to move. But no, I think we were good in the first half, but I thought we were outstanding second half.
It was a slick surface, all right.
I was literally just about to say, on a Monday morning when I've had it, Jeff D's had it, John McCracken's had it, any other Monday, the number one hour of the weekend was the Tom Ford's, surely.
Incredible. Listen, the designer shoes are, they're slick underneath.
I
couldn't afford them. Do you see someone looked them up to see how much they cost? I saw this doing the round. So Brendan Rodgers obviously fell, got up and had a laugh about it. Revealed on TV after that they were Tom Ford's, and Charlie McGrew asked them if they came with studs. Someone on Twitter was looking up these apparently like 1200 quid shoes or whatever. It's just the Celtic manager.
They might now be the most expensive shoes in Scottish football history, beating that pair of Hugo Boss that Gordon Dalziel got all those years ago.
I thought you were going to say Hugh Keevan's high techs that he wears
someone
when it's snowing.
Someone wore Balenciaga trainers in COVID season. Who was
Did
it?
They?
Yeah.
A manager?
Yeah. Oh, who was it?
Dick Campbell.
No.
Davey Martindale.
Something's telling me it was Davey Martindale, but I can't remember for sure.
Craig Levein.
Oh, no, Berettinos, no.
Seriously, they should get those Tom Fords in the Hampden Museum now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got like McFadden's boot from Paris and whatever else. Get them in there and.
Listen, get them donated to Cash for Kids at Christmas. Great auction.
That's a great shout. If anyone from Celtic's listening, let's see what we can do. Anyway, right, I think it's pretty much that time of the evening already. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is already Beat the Pundit time. I'm torn here, very, very torn, because Roger needs to play.
I agree with you.
How long has it been?
I agree with you.
He very rarely plays.
Once in 10 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks. No, twice.
No, with me.
But if you play and win, will you celebrate, keep Roger Hanna's promise from the start of the show? No, you, well, Andy Halliday.
If I win,
just let it all out.
I've not celebrated one Beat the Pundit win.
Doesn't he celebrate anything?
I'll
That's what we're learning. Right, okay. You can beat the pundit. It's 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here and Roger Hanna is alongside him. Give us your thoughts on all the weekend's action. 01419511025. Yes, we have spoken about Hampden at the weekend. Yesterday, Andy was involved. In case you haven't heard, he's given us the inside track on it all. We looked at Celtic's performance before the break there as well. If you want to keep going on either of those, you can. What about the Champions League tomorrow? Celtic fans, not much time. Need to move on to that. Scotland squad out today. Are you pleased with it? Are you not? Who should have been in? Who shouldn't have been in? Give us a call. And anything else that you fancy, pick up the phone and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, I always say it's a tough school on a Monday night because Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are very good at it. By the way, this you against Scott Allen quiz thing is like catching on. Like people are saying this to me, like when I see them out and about. Oh, I heard that last night, and I think, you know, I need to try and arrange that. So you never know.
I'll happily do questions. No problem.
I'd happily see you answer a question on a Monday.
How many weeks have we been here for the season? About 10 or something, something
at least
around
10,
that.
Yeah.
Do you know he's only played twice?
Yeah. So kind of twice. Only I've once when I've been on out 8.
I've told you.
It's remarkable, honestly.
How many times have I played? 7?
Let me see. Right? Yeah. 7-0, 100% record.
Take somebody. What's the percentage of heads? Toss on that.
It must be high because it's mostly you. But anyway, let's see how we go tonight. We try again. Jay is on the line. How are you, Jay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
Yes, a good while ago, a wee while ago.
And how did it go?
Really bad. I was 2 years
really
ago, bad. Like two years ago or a year and a bit ago, but I'm feeling confident tonight.
Hugh has his ups and downs, to be fair. You a Celtic fan, Jay?
Yep, Celtic fan.
What did you make of the weekend?
Amazing, good stuff. It was a good performance. Brings it nicely into Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll turn our attention to that soon, I would imagine. Right, let's put you through your paces, Jay. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it usually is, it's Andy Halliday. And if it's tails, it is Roger Hanna. Minus 2, is it these days?
Been making up.
Minus 2. Okay, let's do it and see how we go. Andy Halliday's known the mood for this tonight, let me tell you.
Not looking. Mate.
I'm not looking right. I've not looked
Come
yet.
On.
I've not looked yet. Was it actually a heads?
It was heads, aye.
What is
going on? No way.
I've told you.
It's unbelievable.
It's a coin of justice.
It shows you he's an honest man, though, because I didn't look. See, you could have just said, and I would have just taken your word for it. Seriously?
It was heads, aye. I tried to turn it over, but
what is?
I forgot we've got cameras in here.
What is going on? Twice this season, Roger Hanna.
It's brilliant. This could only get better if it had been Jeff did it and phoned in.
Well, listen, I don't think he wants to see Andy Halliday again. Right, let's give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to. Jay, you have 30 seconds where you answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know, and we'll see how you get on, okay?
Cracking.
Top man, you're 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. How many red cards were dished out in the Premiership at the weekend?
2.
Who scored Celtic's 5th on Saturday?
Coon.
New Scotland squad member Kieran Slicker plays for which English club?
Ipswich.
Who was the Dundee manager prior to Tony Docherty?
Big Bake.
What country does Cyril Dessers play for?
Nigeria.
Which Celtic player has the most international caps?
Callum McGregor.
Who is currently the top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Who lasted longer at Rangers, Paul Le Guen or Pedro Caixinha?
McGuinn.
Okay, let's bring back Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
You're just scunnered with this. This guy's just sitting back every week. Is it, you're actually off this week as well, aren't you? From the day job, you're on holiday.
Yes, I've got a few
feet
days
up,
off.
Just no bothering about anything, honestly.
Feet up, are you kidding me on?
Do you get put through your paces when you're off?
Yes.
What way? Ironing, hoovering, dishes?
Dog sitting.
Oh,
I was actually
that's
up,
even
I was,
worse.
I was up past Duncan Towers today with the dog. I was looking for you.
Oh no, I was out all day. Yes. Very busy, very busy indeed. You can cut my grass if you fancy it, but it's soggy. But anyway, are you ready, Andy?
Yes.
Your time starts now. How many red cards were dished out in the Premiership at the weekend?
1.
Who scored Celtic's 5th on Saturday?
Coon.
New Scotland squad member Kieran Slicker plays for which English
Ipswich.
Club? Who was the Dundee manager prior to Tony Docherty?
Gary Boyle.
What country does Cyril Dessers play for?
Nigeria.
Which Celtic player has the most international caps?
McGregor.
Who is currently the top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Ollie Shaw.
Who lasted longer at Rangers, Paul Le Guen or your great friend and mentor Pedro Caixinha?
Caixinha. Oh, how long did he take to answer another question?
I just couldn't see where the next question was coming from. I thought we'd reach the end. Jay, what's the verdict?
No sure.
Both pretty good, I thought. Both confident.
Yeah.
Andy's not lost yet. 7 wins this season. How many reds were dished out at the weekend? Mikola Kukarevic. And that was it. So it's 1-0 Andy Halliday. He got it. Are you having that as a red?
No.
Probably not.
Oh. Based on?
I thought it was just me. It hangs nothing.
It's a bit kind of softish, isn't it? The one thing I will say in his defence is there was a similar incident with Cammy Devlin at Perth, and Cammy Devlin did get booked for it, so at least they're showing consistency.
Well, depends.
Did you think that was a penalty?
Andy, I was there. I had no idea what was going on. I'll put my hands up.
But now you've seen it back. It's funny that these things, they'll get past. You remember handball was all in fashion, yeah. Now it's like pulling at corners all at the one time.
Yeah. Honestly, not convinced.
I don't think that was a penalty either.
I just like to hit out at you footballers, right, because I know the rules can be annoying, and then the implementation, all that stuff. Gonna just stop pulling each other's shirts. That doesn't seem like the easiest fix. See, especially when someone's running away from you, just don't pull them. Then we don't need to argue about, oh, but he didn't quite hold it for long enough, and he maybe wasn't impact. Just don't pull it.
Yeah. Although, that said, maybe if Jeff Day had got a bit closer and pulled his shirt, rather than going and chinking the dinner.
Anyway, we got distracted there. So it's 1-0 to Andy. Nicholas Coon got Celtic's fifth on Saturday. You both got it, so Andy stays one up. You both knew Kieran Slicker plays for Ipswich, so Andy stays one up. The Dundee manager prior to Tony Docherty was Gary Bowyer. Jay, you were the couple. You went to James McPeak.
Yeah.
Andy goes 2-0 up. But Jay, this is impressive. It's just, he's a hard man to keep up with.
I know that.
Cyril Dessers, Nigeria. Both of you fell for it. Both of you. Casper Schmeichel, 109 Denmark caps. Callum McGregor's got a fair few, but he's not got that many. So which Celtic player has the most international caps? It's Casper Schmeichel. Andy still leads by two. The top scorer in the championship is Ollie Shaw of Hamilton. Andy goes 3 up. However, he pulled one back. Andy's great friend and mentor Pedro Caixinha did not last as long as Paul Le Guen. About 13 days in it though. It's less than a fortnight, so not a lot in it. But hard lines, Jay. It really was. What was that?
I got closer than Jeffy.
You did, which wouldn't be hard, some would say.
I know, that's it.
But I think it was a 4. Was it a 7-4? Was it 6? 6-4 win.
Fair
enough. Andy,
good game.
Well done, Andy.
Good game, Jay. Well done, mate.
Good game. Have a good night. See you later, bye.
Come on, just look, just indulge me. Just look down the camera, just pump your fist, smile. Brilliant. It's all of the taking. It's all of the taking. We wouldn't have to put ourselves through this misery. But anyway, well done. Another win. It was actually a whitewash for the pundits last week. So fingers out, listeners, if we can. I don't like to see that. We need to make life a bit
more
difficult.
Do you know who's sneaky, weirdly good at times? Hugh?
Yeah, he's not bad. Yeah. He is. He's improving.
Wait, he has mad weeks, but he also has weeks where he's really good, eh?
He's texting me about shoes at the minute.
Oh, what, Tom Ford's there?
Yeah, he says he's going to wear his Gerald Ford's for the American election tomorrow.
He's an 83% win rate, the Shugster. So he's doing not bad. Yeah,
I thought you were
going to say he's 83. Well, nearly. Very nearly.
14 years old on the Dazzler.
I think you're really out on your own because you've got 100%. So has he, the guy next to you. But two appearances?
That doesn't even count. He does
start in minus two. Because last year, Kenny Miller was here and he was quite in the 100% club. You don't hear from him, just off the radar. Just gone.
I know.
Remember
him? You would think if you go over to Abu Dhabi, you know, you'd have loads of time in your hands. You'd catch up with your old pals, phone in.
Know what he's up to.
He's just binned us.
Him and Ronnie Dyler, best pals.
Oh, just forgotten.
Dropped Hugh Keevans like a hot potato and moved on to Ronnie Dyler.
Yeah.
What change in direction that is. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. Please give us a call right now. Howard is on. How are you, Howard?
I not bad at all. Hello, Roger, and unlucky yesterday, Andy.
Cheers, Howard.
Basically, what it is, we're in the Halloween season, but by God, what I witnessed on Saturday was frightening. It's like a machine that just doesn't stop. But in saying that, I think Rogers is just, you've got to sit back and give him credit. It would have been easy to pick Taylor and Scales, but he didn't. He went with Trusty, he went with Valley, and I thought the both of them were absolutely fantastic. And it all bears well for tomorrow night. I don't think we should be scared about Leipzig tomorrow night. And the way we're playing, as I say, hopefully 3 points.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you get to that level Celtic, you know, got to last season, you're all wondering how easy is it to improve? Where can you improve? And when you sign Austin Trusty and then you sign someone, albeit on loan from Barcelona, you think, well, maybe those are the upgrades, but then they don't go in the team straight away, and people maybe then wonder if it is going to be the case. Only time can answer this, but you do wonder if we're at the start of that in those two positions.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, the natural progression and improvements for Celtic was, you know, at European level, and again, like you say, is that they've made some big money signings, and obviously Trusty being one of them for £5-6 million, whatever it may be. Engels 11, Valley obviously on loan, but the reason they never got in the team straight away was because of how well Greg Taylor and how well Liam Scales did. So listen, I kind of touched on it earlier, I think it's really unfortunate for Liam Scales, who'd be the one that to miss out. You know, Brendan Rodgers referenced the sort of pace is why he sort of gave him the nod against Aberdeen, realising they have to defend the halfway line at times, and Aberdeen will obviously be trying to hit them on the counter attack. I think for that reason alone, I think it will be Trusty again tomorrow. But listen, another huge benefit that we've not even mentioned yet is the return of Cameron Carter-Vickers and how comfortable he looked again within that sort of 60 minute period he was on the pitch. Obviously gets that all important first goal. You obviously mentioned as well, Gordon, about that quick turnaround for the weekend to the game tomorrow night. I think being so comfortable within the game and having that luxury to take Cameron Carter-Vickers off after 60 minutes probably means he's going to go again tomorrow.
Yeah, the Scales man of the match, the only home game in the Champions League this season, Slovan Bratislava. He was man of the match. It's hard on him if he doesn't get picked.
Who was man of the match in Bergamo? Was it Trusty?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Scales would have been close to that though as well, wouldn't he?
Scales,
so that
Scales was excellent. I heard you discussing that on Saturday. Scales was excellent over there as well. It's a big call, but that's why Brendan Rodgers is there.
If the phrase that Philippe Clement brought to us tonight is reference game, you know, Atalanta would be a reference game for Celtic in the Champions League, wouldn't it? Because I think what we saw, as good as they were at the weekend there, what we probably learned from Dortmund maybe is that what they do domestically the week before might not have that much relevance, because the McDermott Park Six was leading up to Dortmund, and everyone said but that, you know, Celtic going to it in a great place.
It's a different game from Bergamo tomorrow night though, because there's more of an onus on Celtic at Celtic Park to come out and play. There'll be an expectation from the support that will come out and play, maybe not as cavalier as they were against Aberdeen at the weekend, but it's about striking that balance. It's about, you know, protecting the ball, it's about playing forward, but it's also about Carter-Vickers and Trusty and keeping the back door closed against a very competent Leipzig side.
So where does the confidence come from, Howard? Is it the game at the weekend, or is it more the performance against Atalanta? Because you look at Leipzig, it would be hard to sort of separate them. I mean, they're above Dortmund in the table, I think they're 4 points above them, but they did lose to them 2-1 at the weekend, so clearly a similar level, you'd have to say.
I think the biggest thing is, for once, the board have acted. Rodgers is happy. No, in a funny type of way, nobody's place is secure. Everybody's fighting to get in the first team. But also that means that you've got a fantastic bench as well. So everything's looking good. I don't know how Andy's feeling now, but if we play half as well in December, you know, it could be a very good day for Celtic.
It wasn't lost on me yesterday when, having seen Celtic on Saturday night, went through to Motherwell yesterday morning, there was a real kind of buzz and cup semi-final and loads of people going to games and families and all that sort of stuff, and just thought, see if you win it, and then, you know, you have to play that Celtic team in the final. Obviously that turned out not to be a worry in the end, but you clearly are hitting a certain level domestically, Roger. It just, again, we've just been through this before. What does it have any link, any relevance to what happens tomorrow, or is the gulf so different, so big?
To be honest, listen, Gordon, I could stand here and say, oh yeah, you know, a 6-0 win, it's really, you know, it's ideal preparation for Celtic. I don't think it matters too much.
It must be better than
losing 6-0. Yeah, of course it is. But, you know, when they go out to take on Benjamin Sesko and the like tomorrow night, I don't think they were thinking, well, let's do what we did against Graham Shinney. It's a completely different competition. Different rules apply. They'll need to be at the very top of their game. I was reading some of Brendan Rodgers' quotes for a media conference today, you know, just about the way they need to play, the confidence they need to have in their passing, just do everything right. They did almost everything right in Bergamo and were rewarded with a point against the Europa League champions. They didn't do everything right in Dortmund. Dortmund were very good, but Celtic were poor. They won't be that poor tomorrow night. I think it'll be a really good game against Leipzig.
I think, Andy, we make a lot about analysing styles and approach, and people said, you know, Brendan Rodgers has to change after Dortmund, and then they said, oh, well done on the change. But he has said a number of times, he repeated it today, that actually the plan in Dortmund was similar. It just, they didn't carry it out right, and then you concede early. Your head goes, is it actually more about that?
I don't know if I agree with that though. I don't buy that, no. Because in Dortmund, you could see, we spoke about it at the time, at Dortmund, Kyogo was jumping the goalie. They were pressing the goalie. That's how high they were pressing, and Dortmund just picked them off. And any time they broke that first line of pressure, Dortmund were just electric and just turned and drove at Celtic at pace. Celtic weren't like that in Bergamo. They weren't at all. I thought they were, in credit with a credit shoe, I thought they were a lot more pragmatic, a lot more compact in their lines, whether they did sort of press in a medium block or sit in. And to be honest, I thought Thurlow deserved to get the point that they got on the night, because I thought they restricted Bergamo to little. I think Bergamo Atalanta to very little. I thought they had a couple of good chances for sort of cross balls for the wider areas in the first half, but in the second half I thought they were fairly comfortable.
They just did the basics better against Atalanta than they did against Dortmund. Even just, you know, holding the ball, passing the ball short to a teammate, not looking flustered, not looking panicked, getting first contact in the opposite, and get, you know, when the ball's coming into the box, getting first contact and that, picking up the second balls. The things they didn't do in Dortmund, they did far, far better in Italy. And I think, on a night we're talking about reference points, I think that's a better reference point for tomorrow than a 6-0 against Aberdeen is.
You know, Roger quite rightly pointed out 10 or so minutes ago that I think there's a lot more onus in Celtic being at home, being against Leipzig, to go out and play their sort of natural style of game, which I completely agree with. But what I will say is that, you know, we talked about domestically how sometimes you're at your most vulnerable when you're attacking Celtic. I don't think that changes when it comes to the European level of football, because such is that athleticism in Celtic's midfield and attacking areas that they can be as equally devastating in the counter-attack as they are in possession.
Thank you, Howard. Let's bring in Jack, who's a Motherwell fan. How are you, Jack?
I'm good.
Not so good after yesterday. Where did it go wrong?
I think it ultimately falls to the manager. I think the way we set out to play, the subs that he made throughout the game, I think we handed it to Rangers. I think there's a case of, yeah, they're the better team, but there's just a case of sitting off them too much. And there's just a case of, like, the subs that we made were just, it took away any attacking threat we had when Robinson and Tavares came on. I don't understand what Tawanda had done wrong to get subbed off. I understand Apostolos getting subbed off because the service that he was getting just wasn't there. I mean, you're hoofing the ball up to someone that's 5'10" when he's got 2 6'2" defenders on him. It's been every game that he's played, I think he's been up front himself, just isolated. And I don't understand the need to sit in against teams and just play negative football where you've got one striker up front himself, where the only hope is just a long searching ball. There's no plan, there's no nothing.
The only thing that would make this weekend worse for Andy Halliday is if he now sat and slated his own manager and then had to go and face him tomorrow. So
I'm
only joking, Jack. No, listen, I'm joking. That's why we're here. You're allowed to phone in. I'm joking.
You know the one thing I would say about substitutions, I think, and this actually works for both teams yesterday, you would have thought in the last 10 minutes, you know, if it's, you're 2-1 down, Andy, it was ready made for Moses Abiyeh to come on, as he has done so often this season. And they couldn't make the change because, you know, they'd used 3 subs or 2 substitute windows, if you like. And then Caleta gets injured and you have to get Shane Blaney on for Caleta. It's the same with Rangers when they had to get Balogun off and, you know, they couldn't make the last change. Otherwise, I think Abiyeh would have been thrown on maybe for one of the wing-backs or something like that, and they would have had a right go at it. And he didn't get the chance to have a right go at it. You know, I think Dan Casey went up in the last few moments. It's difficult, Jack. You know, you took the lead. I think human nature, if you take the lead in a cup semi-final against one of the Old Firm teams, human nature probably dictates the players drop off 4 or 5 yards. And that goes from Apostolos, Stamatalopoulos right up the top to the 3 at the back. And that's probably what happened yesterday. I know what you mean about Waz when he say when Gerard Tavares came in, he did not provide what Maswanisi was providing. Zach Robinson tried to get involved a bit more than Apostolos was. I would have liked to have seen Lennon, the captain, get a wee bit further forward. But it's difficult at that stage. You know, you go forward and you suddenly leave more holes, and it becomes more and more difficult. So I thought Motherwell did well to an extent yesterday. And listen, I think he would have had a right good go had he had a substitute left in the last 10 minutes.
Andy, what was your take on Jack's point, loosely?
Listen, Jack, I think for me personally, I thought the game plan worked to perfection in the first half. And this isn't me just defending my manager. This is me being completely honest that At no point did the manager change that game plan. I just think us as players didn't carry it out as well as we did in the first half. I do think the changes affected that in terms of Steve Seddon being on a booking. You know, the manager doesn't want to risk him and takes him off, and Marvin Coletta having to be forced off due to an injury or whatever it may be, cramp, whatever it was. Because I think a big part of that game plan was the attacking outlet that they took and give us. That's then replaced by Dan Casey, who's been great for us, but he's a centre-half going to right wing-back. Doogie, who had a sort of specific role in the midfield, then having to move to left wing back. So again, I think that obviously coincides with we're sort of not offering as much as an attacking impetus as you'd like. And then I touched on it earlier on the show as well. You know, I still sit here this morning feeling a bit down in terms of, I just don't think we've done enough on the ball, especially in the second half compared to the first half, to really have that more of a threat going into a Rangers final third. So again, that's kind of, I don't want to say regret, because I just think us as a team are a wee bit inexperienced in terms of these type of games. But that's kind of the one area that I feel as if we kind of let ourselves down yesterday.
And I suppose then you've got injuries to Paul McGinn, Stephen O'Donnell in that area that you partly spoke about there. Yeah. So
and you do forget Gordon Ashley. You know, he stood kettle well at Fir Park on Friday morning, and then I watched the players that were sitting in the seats in front of me at Hampden yesterday. Paul McGinn, Stephen O'Donnell, Harry Payton, Ross Callaghan, Sam Nicholson. You then, as you say, you then lose Marvin Coletta. You know, any team who's going to lose five or six or seven players like that is going to be weakened, and it is going to stretch your squad.
Thanks for calling, Jack. Much appreciated. 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number. And you can give us your thoughts, please, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've got a good full-time teaser for you. So topical. These guys must just be right off the out the starting blocks with them. Now, just a quick reminder, if anyone doesn't know, the full-time teaser is when you send a teaser question into us and we try and trick the pundits in about the last half hour of the show. Jay and Motherwell's got an absolute cracker. Before Andy Halliday's goal yesterday, who were the last seven players since 2018-19 to score against their former club, Rangers? So before Andy Halliday yesterday, he scored against Rangers yesterday. You might or may not have heard about it. Can you name the seven players since 2018-19 to score against their former club, Rangers? Just like Andy did yesterday. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be straight up front and honest with you. The original list was eight and it had Amad Diallo in it, but it's a pre-season friendly. So I took it. I think that's unfair.
Oh, so the remaining seven are competitive?
Yes.
That's hard, by it.
I mean, it isn't really. See, when you get going, I think you'll be fine.
Nicky Clark?
Yes, he scored. Would that have been this time 2 years ago, maybe? Nicky Clark?
I'm only saying that because he scored for both teams at the weekend.
Hearts. He's been involved in everything in recent weeks.
He's been fantastic. Yeah.
Scored at both ends. Free kicks, penalties, goals disallowed.
And as that was going on, as he was scoring for both teams against Hearts, his dad, who managed St Johnson and Hearts, is manager of Albion Rovers and was beating Hearts B.
There you go. I didn't know that.
How bonkers is that?
Because they were going to have someone else take
Duncan
the team
McKay
from the terrace.
Yeah.
And then they decided not to and all that.
Did they have
stuff.
To have played for Rangers?
Yeah.
All right.
It's the former team.
Well, I was going to say Craig Alcott was at Rangers. But
all right. No, he's not one now. Okay. We'll see how we get on.
Glenn Middleton?
No, actually, no. Nope. Right, we'll leave it there. We'll see how you get on. So we're looking for, before Andy Halliday yesterday, the last seven players since 18-19 season, so pretty recent, to score against their former club, Rangers. And if you want to do what Jay in Motherwell has done and send a question in full time at Clyde1.com. Would you like to hear a bit from Steve Clark, perhaps? We can get back to the calls on domestic football if you would prefer that. But Steve Clark named his Scotland squad today. I don't think there were any huge shocks or surprises. It's actually good news for once. The injuries are clearing up a bit. John McGinn is back, obviously a massive difference. Scott McKenna and Jack Hendry back, you know, kind of recognisable defenders there. So if you're thinking that last squad that had a few first call-ups in it, the likes of Liam Lindsay drops out, Andy Irving, of West Ham drops out as well. The goalkeeping situation is a bit of a worry, you might say, because Angus Gunn's still injured. So Craig Gordon is the man, or uncapped Robbie McCrory, or called up for the first time Kieran Slicker, who you may not have heard of. He's at Ipswich, he hasn't played, but he does have 17 under 21 caps, so he's like in the system, if you like, and would be one of the next next in line. Anything that jumped out for you, Roger?
Yeah, Kieran Slicker coming in. I know the goalkeeping thing is an issue at the minute with Angus Gunn being injured. Liam Kelly and Xander Clark, who both went to the Euros, are not getting any football at the minute. John McCracken, as Andy pointed out at the top of the show, is not in peak form at the minute. So Kieran Slicker is probably the next cab off the rank, if you like, to back up Craig Gordon and Robbie McCrory. Craig will play the two games. I think it will take him to something like 79, 80 caps almost. A wonderful story. I watched him, outstanding form again against St Johnstone at the weekend, and he's now got a run of games either side of the two Scotland games where he plays Heidenheim, Rangers, Celtic, Cercle Bruges and Aberdeen. And for at 41, it's a great run of games for Craig Gordon.
No Lenny Miller, that's one for me.
In the 19s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Amazingly.
Bit disappointed with his omission. I just think the form he's in. Again, I think, I've said it so many times, I think age is just a number. But I'm not comparing him to Lamine Yamal at all, but you see how quickly he was integrated into that Spanish squad. And I think such as the caliber of player.
You've just committed my pet, that's my football pet hate at the moment. I know you and your podcast talk about pet hates. That's my football pet hate right now. No, just the, because listen, there would be nobody as pleased as me if Lennon Miller was in the Scotland squad. Can we wrap the Yamin Lamal stuff? And I know people aren't comparing them either.
Nah, but my comparison is more to the fact that Lamine Yamal had only played 6 games until he was called up to this right, squad. Lennon's now played 70.
I know, and you're just going to say it's all relative. Like, again, I think in isolation, I'm convinced with that, but just can we stop the Yamin Lamal stuff?
Well, that I'm trying to get my point across as much as I possibly can, that it's not about his age, it's about his ability.
The beauty of and it for is, me, I agree with you.
How many midfielders are in the Scotland squad? 10, 11, 12?
Yeah.
Nobody can convince me that Lennon Miller's not in the top 10 best midfielders in Scotland.
Let's ask Robbie to come in and make his thoughts on the line. He's called about that topic. How are you, Robbie?
All right, boys, how are we?
Not right, bad. Robbie. What made you call in on that front? We're talking Scotland squad here.
Aye, so obviously I seen the squad come out, and you've got players like the same old, like Ryan Christie, Kenny McLean, stuff like that, that they obviously feature, but when a manager comes under criticism the way he kind of did after last tournament, the last couple of games, I feel like you need to freshen it up, and Scotland are starting to get real young talent in, like Lennon Miller, Lewis Ferguson, stuff like that. I think it's just time to give the boys a chance. Huh?
Would you go along with it, Roger? Andy's going to say it because he's his teammate and he loves him. I'm going to say it because I have similar feelings, but go on, you can be the independent adjudicator.
I don't think it would do any harm. I don't see the downside to putting Lennon Miller into the squad. I think we're all agreed that at some stage in the future, Lennon Miller will be in the squad, whether he's a Motherwell player or whoever he's playing with at that time. You know, Ben Doak's in the squad, Aaron Hickey came in very young, Nathan Patterson came in very young, Billy Gilmour came in very young. I don't see the downside of bringing Lennon Miller in. I think taking him to the under-19s is a waste of time. A wee bit like Aaron Hickey when he stopped playing for the 21s. A waste of time.
What if Lennon Miller wanted to play for the 19s, actively wanted to be in that? I mean, I'm sure he would rather be in the A squad, but you know, if he felt,
well,
that wasn't...
If you're looking at career development, I think having Lennon Miller away for, how long is the international break? 8 or 9 days? Having Lennon Miller away training with Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmour and John McGinn under the tutelage of Steve Clark and Alan Irvine and John Carver, I think that would be better for Lennon Miller's education and development than going away with the under-19s.
Steve Clark spoke today, Robbie, saying let's allow Lennon some time and space to grow at Motherwell. He said, you know, sometimes we get, you know, overhype things or words to that effect. I take it you're not in agreement?
No, definitely not, man. I feel like Lennon Miller could walk into a Celtic and Rangers team right now, to be honest. I think I've heard Andy say that on his podcast. I think he would... I think he's better than Conor Barron, even at 19. So,
I think the see in isolation, you know, when you make the point about, I think he should just be in because of, you know, and you list off his strengths and what he does, I think that's fine. I think where we sometimes lose the right train of thought, though, when we're talking about Scotland, is when we reference the players that we think shouldn't be there. You know, Robbie picked up two names like Ryan Christie and talks about being the same old, same old. But he's in there for a reason. Ryan Christie's played 11 times for Bournemouth this season. Bournemouth beat
Man City.
Beat Man City, yeah, at the weekend, and Ryan Christie played.
Yeah.
And I know Kenny McLean is a less fashionable choice, but we can't have selective memory loss. The very last Scotland game we played was Scotland 0, Portugal 0. It is a good result against a big side, and you're lying if you didn't think Kenny McLean was excellent
and
in the game.
He's now on 45 caps.
So I just think there has to be a little... This isn't even a point necessarily about Lennon Miller. This is a point that you just keep sort of turning things over and just churning the next guy. Give this guy a chance, that guy a chance, this guy a chance. Like I said, that's not even necessarily a point about Lennon Miller, but it's more about notion that Ryan Christie or Kenny McLean somehow aren't worthy.
He doesn't need to come into the squad at the expense of a Christie or a McLean.
Yeah.
He could come in with Steve Clarke having no intention of playing him against either Croatia or Poland, just taking him in so he gets, you know, a feel of an international squad that we're all in agreement he will be in one day.
I think, Andy, I suppose you know the character more. As Roger says, there's no downside, because even if he's not ready to start or whatever, I'm assuming you're going to tell us he wouldn't be fazed by the whole experience.
No, I've said it numerous times. As much as his technical ability is there for everyone to see, I think his mentality and such a cool head on such young shoulders is as impressive as anything. No matter the occasion, no matter what's been put in front of him, I think he's been able to stand tall and show that he can handle it. Again, I think another sort of string to his bow is getting that captain's armband at the weekend, which I thought was outstanding for him. A young academy prospect came through the academy, supports Motherwell. What a proud moment for him and his family to captain the team in the semi-final. And again, thought he took it on his stride, even when everyone, or even when sometimes his teammates round about him were getting a little bit phased in certain scenarios in the game. I don't think he ever did. I still think he tried to take it in certain areas of the pitch. And again, I wax lyrical about him so often. I think he's just consistently impresses me. I do agree. I think, no, I'm not suggesting for a minute that Kenny McLean and Ryan Christie's the two guys he replaces, but I do look at the like of Lewis Morgan, and again, he's been in a few squads. I don't really think
he's a winger, the way Steve Clarke sees him, is that different option?
We don't play wingers.
But we now do play Ben Doak, so then you're starting to, is that a kind, you know, is if everyone's banging on about freshness, is that a direction that at least trying to head in, even if it's not quick enough for some people?
Yeah, potentially. But if we do play consistently with wingers, then I think that's fine. But
is
I don't think
Doak?
We do. I think
he started the Portugal game though, Doak, didn't he?
Yeah, he started the Portugal game, and again, he's been another one I've been sort of championing on about for a long period of time. But that is the one for the sort of midfield selection that I would like to see drop out, to see Lennon Miller get his opportunity, because for me, I have that confidence in his ability that I do think when he gets that opportunity, I don't think he'll ever come out of the A squad.
See, just quickly on that, because actually, so I can't remember, someone asked me sort of secretly, Andy and the other senior players, are their noses out of joint at all at Lennon Miller being made captain, when maybe it could have been a Liam Gordon or other experienced guys?
I was as happy as I possibly could be. Yeah. Honestly, absolutely delighted for him. Like I said, it's not even just how good a player he is, it's how good a boy he is as well. And I thought it was a correct decision.
Yeah, although, and Robbie mentions Lewis Ferguson, he played for Bologna weekend.
Yep.
His return from injury, Steve Clarke was asked, said it was probably just, you know, and you understand that, but long-term injury, leave
played,
him there.
I think he played 8 minutes. I think it's, you know, more important that he gets settled back into that Bologna team.
So if we're talking, the most of the midfielders who are in there are pretty much nailed on, and then you've got Lewis Ferguson to add into that. So it's going to be interesting to see how and if and when Lennon Miller can force his way in, and at the expense of who Robbie said he would have chosen him ahead of Conor Barron. Steve Clarke said he was at Hampden yesterday and he liked what he saw from Conor Barron.
I thought Barron played well yesterday. You know, he teed up that equalising goal for Dessers. I thought it was one of his better performances in that Rangers midfield. And I think Barron and Raskin have probably nailed down those two sort of deeper lying roles, if you like. Diomande, I've seen a couple of times. I think it was against St Mirren, and then when he came on for Lawrence yesterday, and a sort of more advanced, not really what I would call a number 10 role, but certainly more advanced than the other two, and he actually looks more comfortable in there as well, so he might just have struck some kind of balance in there.
Let's hear a bit from Steve Clarke. He's welcoming a more regular looking squad. We said some of the the names are back from injury. He says he'll be patient with some of those returning from the long term issues and explained his reasoning for selecting Kieran Slicker.
Yeah, it's always good to get the players back a little bit more regular around the squad, but listen, the boys that came in last month did a good job for us as well, so not pleased to have some of the boys back. When you look at the longer term injuries, it's better for them to get minutes at their club, build up their robustness, and for people like Lewis and Kieran and Nathan Patterson, it's better that they get minutes over the winter, and hopefully they're all fit and flying come March.
Kieran Slicker in the squad for the first time. I know he's not played a lot of senior minutes, but good reviews from Scott Gemmell in the under-21.
Yeah, I think it's just a chance for us to look at Kieran up close and personal in the camp. I've been rotating the goalkeepers a little bit through the squad so that we can look at different people. Kieran's now out of the under-21 group, so it's a chance for myself and my coaches to have a look at him.
Thanks very much. 01419511025. Robbie putting his case forward for Lennon Miller to be in a Scotland squad. We'll leave it there for now because it's a good time to breathe, and if you want to call, now's the perfect time to do it. 01419511025. How are you two faring on this teaser? It's a good one. Jay in Motherwell asks, before Andy Halliday yesterday, who are the last seven players since the 2018-19 season to score against their former club Rangers? You've only got Nicky Clark so far.
Kenny Miller.
Yeah, he's just the answer to every teaser. Did it for Dundee.
Yeah, I scored in that game. One each.
So were you the one?
Me and Kenny, one each.
Right, okay. Oh, your mic. Just tell Andy and he'll say it in his mic.
What about Danny Wilson?
No.
No.
Stephen Naismith.
Yes. Did you play in that as well?
I did today. 2-1. 2-1.
For Hearts?
Yeah, no, 2-1. I'm sure it was
2-1.
No, I'm saying, Rangers.
Did you play
for Rangers?
For Rangers.
What about Kyle Lafferty?
Nope. He must have been just out the time frame.
Yeah.
My other ones are almost guesses. I can't remember goals. Greg Stewart?
No, we'll get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That was good fun, wasn't it? Always good when the breaks just sort of don't happen and then we're just sitting. We could have been doing anything.
It doesn't even give me us a minute to look at that teaser and thing, figure out an
we could have been doing
it.
Anything there and got caught in the live stream.
I could practice my celebrations.
Unbelievable.
I was not nearly put my false teeth back in.
You're still in and out with those braces every 2 minutes on the show. That's what it is. He's putting in and out his mouth, honestly. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call at Clyde SSB. How did you get on with that 10 seconds I gave you to think about
Michael
the teaser?
Michael Halloran.
Oh, look at that. Doesn't need long.
I remember the goal as well. Was it McDermott Park?
Michael O'Halloran.
Speaking of McDermott Park, I saw him in Sutherland. Jason Holt, your old pal?
No.
I can remember.
I have to say, Roger, it's the furthest away from a teaser I've seen you
the
in a while.
I'm trying to think clubs. Stephen Kelly didn't get one for Lovie.
No. Listen, you're fine. You've got three. You've got time.
Four. Kenny Miller.
Look at this. After this, we're all over the place. We're going to take a break and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
You're kidding me on.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. 01419511025 if you want to squeeze your call in. It's a good question tonight from Jay in Motherwell, who says, before Andy Halliday yesterday, can you name the last seven players since 2018-19 who've scored against their former club Rangers? Nicky Clark, Michael O'Halloran, Stephen Naismith, Kenny Miller,
Stephen McLean.
Yes. And it was for Hearts against Rangers, not St Johnstone.
Any Motherwell players in there, Gordon? No.
The two teams you're looking for are still in the Premiership. Just in case you were thinking sort of lower league opponents or whatever. But yes, we'll leave it there. One is not... Nor doesn't play the position you would expect to be scoring goals.
Right,
it's not a goalie, by the way. But and then the other one, a bit more of an attacker. But anyway, we'll leave it there for now. 0141 951 1025. Anything you want to tidy up from the weekend. The league action, of course, it was always going to take, yeah, you know, second billing to the League Cup semi-finals. But what was the big talking point?
I was at Perth for you guys, Super Scoreboard, on Saturday. My first encounters with Simo Vallecari and Neil Critchley. A big win for Hearts. They needed it when St John's equalised. I thought St John's would kick on and win the game. And it says a lot about Hearts that they managed to recover from the setback of that VAR penalty and go back and win the game again. And you talk about reference points, or Philippe Clement talks about reference point. I wonder at the end of the season if Neil Critchley might look back on that 10 minutes at Perth when they lost the equaliser but pulled themselves up and went and got a winner. I wonder how big a reference point that could be in Hearts' season.
Give us the inside scoop. We've got St Johnstone at the weekend, Roger. What did you...
You know something, right? They carry a threat. You know, for St Johnstone for years, you always thought if they're going to beat you, they're going to beat you 1-0. They carry a threat. Nicky Clark, who we've mentioned a couple of times, in behind Kimpioka and Sidibe, they will carry a threat, but Hearts got at them a little bit.
Yeah, well, obviously my result at the weekend was Dundee. I thought it was a massive result for them. I think especially with Hibs and Hearts both being below them. Hearts obviously getting that victory that Rogers just alluded to. Hibs getting a point. Dundee needing that result to then jump five places, being 2-0 down, being against a Kelly team that have had a half decent couple of weeks. Obviously that disappointing result last week at Dingwall. But when the Tynecastle during the week coming from 1-0 down, it's at Munros County. I think we could probably just skip over that game. It was hard to a classic for Fraser Mitchell's
still in therapy.
You get a little bit of penalty issues though, don't they, St Mirren? I think Mark O'Hara missed against you guys.
Stephen Robinson alluding that he might be the next taker. So. Yeah,
Greg Kilty tried. I always think the kind of so-called safer one is down the middle as well.
But when you do miss it, it looks like a really poor penalty.
What's the key there about height, so that it goes height, over the goalie's legs?
Yeah, exactly. I think height is the main issue.
That's a missed opportunity, isn't it? If there is a game with not a lot happening in it.
They had beaten St Johnstone in midweek as well. Come from behind to beat St Johnstone in midweek. Had they won that game, even 1-0 against Ross County, you know, it lifts the entire place. They go to bottom of the table Hibs on Saturday and suddenly feel better about themselves. But it was a setback when Ross Laid Law saved them.
I tell you what, we've not even alluded to them. You've just mentioned them there. Hibs' inability to keep the ball out of the net for the last 15 minutes of the game just cost them another 2 points at the weekend.
I mean, how many times? They played Dundee United at Tannadice. I was there. 94 and 99 minutes they conceded the goals. James Wilson equalised in the derby in 87 minutes. And yesterday it was whatever time and added time when Sam Dolby scored. It is a problem. It's a recurring problem. That's why they're bottom of the league.
Is it 11 points, I think, from...
Losing positions.
I mean, clearly an issue. Having said that, we skirted around it earlier. Do they feel hard done by on this occasion? Should it have been a penalty late on? Because that's what costs them.
No penalty for me.
I'm not convinced with them at all. This is clearly a thing. Your pal Willie Collum, you're the man to ask him about it, Gordon. And the KMIs, when they come out on Friday, we'll see whether the two penalty decisions were correct or not. I'm not sure about either. You know, you see this happening a lot. I think after the game at the weekend, Neil Critchley said, if that's a penalty, you're going to have 10 penalties per game. I hope we're not getting down that route.
Yeah, I just do wonder, Andy, is it taking longer though for players to, because you guys have just been brought up on it, you know, VAR is now there, I'm assuming you know, because like I said earlier, I was half joking because I do understand it. But to me, this, yes, you're allowed to point out inconsistencies, obviously, and we all do it. But this defence of, no, honestly, I only held him for 2 seconds and not four. Or, oh, I think the ball was just about going to go over his head, so that shouldn't be a penalty. Surely just the easiest way of fixing it is to know that VAR's on. And by the way, I get those ones. See if you're really close with each other and you're both kind of holding. But that one where someone is running away from you and you stick your arms straight out. Especially, by the way, and you've both said it's not a penalty. It's not even Kukurevich's man. Mm-hmm. He's looking the other way and he sticks his arm out and grab. What's it going to take for players to stop that?
And I think David Gray actually covered it pretty fair and pretty well. I think he does mention the fact that Max Kukurechev is gave the referee a decision to make. But that being said, he also alluded to the meetings with referees and the SFA at the start of the season in terms of the new rules, in terms of shot pulls. And his understanding of the rules is the exact same as mine. If it's going into an area where it's going to affect that attacker, Are we off already?
Well, we're nearly done, to be fair, it is that time.
If the ball goes into the area that's going to affect that attacker.
And you don't think that was applicable?
I don't think it's going anywhere
near him. I have to say
him.
Here, I do actually sort of get that, because I've heard people mentioning about, can he get on the second ball and it's knocked back across? But then surely you could always make that case.
You could reference that to every single one that we've seen.
Yeah. But like I say, I think eventually we're probably going to get away from players going, yeah, I held him, but don't worry, I knew the ball was kind of going over his head. So anyway, we'll agree to disagree. One more, two more in the teaser.
Chris Burke.
Yep.
Chris Boyd.
No, so Nicky Clark, Michael O'Halloran, Stephen Naismith, Chris Burke, Stephen McLean and Kenny Miller.
One's a
players
defender.
Players who scored against Rangers in the last few years.
Is it Kirk Broadfoot?
It's not. It was for Hibs.
Darren McGregor.
Beautiful. Well done. Thank you, Andy Halliday. We celebrate his return to the show. He's back with us, and Roger Hanna here as well. Tomorrow night, though, we move on. Champions League for Celtic. Looking forward to that. Make sure you join us from 6 and enjoy the rest of your Monday.